I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the 37th Psalm. I want to talk to you about something that will be familiar to all of us, but I feel like the Lord put this message on my heart for this morning. Psalms 37. This morning I want to talk about trust. I want to talk about trusting in the Lord. And that's certainly a good song, and we may sing it at the end of the service as well. But to wait on the Lord, be still and know that He is God. Trust in the Lord. Psalms 37. I'm going to start at verse 3 this morning. I'm breaking in a new Bible. This is a major thing for a pastor. It has been years since I've had a new Bible, not because I couldn't get one, but because you get familiar. Your Bibles are your friends. And so my old Bible, it was losing the binding and all of that. So it sits now on a little desk beside a little area in my home where I pray and study. And as I was leaving this morning, I said goodbye to it, and it cried. It wasn't going to church like it normally has. So anyway, that has all my notes in it. This has no notes in it, so this could be a wild morning. But anyway, Psalms 37. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. And by the way, those two words can never be separated. When you talk about trust, you can always put the word faithfulness next to it. Amen? Trust and faithfulness, those two things. Verse number 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So, Lord, we thank You for Your word today, and we ask that You would bless this time that we have together this morning. We thank You for ministering throughout the morning. We pray that the words that I share, Lord, could be an encouragement and a help to others. We thank You for the word that was spoken by Cheryl, Lord, just a moment ago. And Lord, we do believe that as we wait on the Lord and we trust in God, that You will be faithful to us. And so in these next few moments, Lord, just honor Your word, Lord, by being here in our midst and ministering to us. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This has been an interesting week. Starting last Sunday when we had to dismiss the service, when we had to cancel, and most of you know that have been attending for a long time, we don't cancel very often at all. Usually if it's just snow, we have church and just say, whoever can come, can get here, get here. But when it's ice, it's a different animal. How many know that? And last Sunday was that. But it feels like I haven't been in church for a month. It feels like I've been gone. But it is good to be back this morning. But it has been unusual, just never knowing what each day would hold and canceling this and that and another thing. So I've certainly looked forward to this. And then, like I say, I got a new Bible, and that's always an experience. And then, and this won't be news to some of you it won't matter at all, but I also, this last week, I signed up for Medicare. Actually, Sally signed me up for Medicare. I wasn't sure how to do it, so she offered, and so, yeah, she filled in all the blanks. And I had to correct her on my age. She put me down as 80. And so I'll almost be 60. I'm almost 65. I'll be that in March. And I was thinking about that. I thought as we were doing it, my, how things have changed in these 40 years. When I came to Battleground, I was 24 years old. Can't believe it. I was just a kid, right, Sister Harvey? I was just a kid. And here we are 40 years later, and I'm applying for Medicaid. See what the church does to you? It makes you old. It ages you. No. And I've still got good years left ahead. You know, how many can associate with this that you know, my body tells me I'm 65, but my brain tells me I'm still 16, right? Wow. And so yesterday I followed my brain, and the two little guys came out to the house, and we sled down hills and sled, and I rocked, and I rolled, and I ached all night long. That sounds like a country western song. Let's rock, let's roll, let's ache all night. Yeah, that's what happens as you get older, right? But anyway, it was funny. And then the little Jacob, he's 3, and he came out, and he had his hats on, and his hat, and his gloves, and his boots, and he was ready. Come on, Grandpa. And we got out there, and he starts eating snow. And he says, Grandpa, I'm going to eat all your snow. And I said, go right ahead. I want it gone, right? I want it gone. But things have changed in these 40 years. I remember when Battleground, when we came here, we were out in the country. The city hadn't reached us yet. We were a country church, and now we're an inner city church, right? A lot changes. But I can tell you this, in all these years, one thing has not changed, and that is that God is faithful. Hallelujah. And we can trust Him. Amen? How many's learned you can trust the Lord? You trust the Lord. Well, Pastor, everyone knows that, so why are you preaching about it? Well, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that we can trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not unto our own understanding. And so when we look at the scripture, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. And that's what those two words are so critical, trust and faithful. Because if we trust the Lord, He's going to be faithful to us. Now, we don't always understand the direction the Lord takes us. We don't always understand where the Lord leads us. We don't understand necessarily what we are going through at the time we're going through it. But once we get on this end of the journey and we look back, all we can see is how God was faithful. Amen? How God was faithful. See, when we're on this end and we're looking that way, we're saying, I've got to trust the Lord. I need to trust the Lord. Every step is a trust in God. But when I get on this end and I look back on where I've been, I can say I trusted, and look at the results. God was faithful every step of the way. Hallelujah. Every step of the way, He was faithful. So those two words are important. Trust in the Lord, and God will be faithful. And maybe that's where you're at today. Somewhere in your life, somewhere in your journey, you are having to trust the Lord. Maybe you don't understand right now the circumstances surrounding where you're at right now. But I guarantee you, at some point, you're going to look back and say, we trusted God, and God was faithful. Hallelujah. God was faithful. Trust in the Lord and do good. Turn to Psalms 32. Most of your Bibles, all you'll have to do is flip a page backwards. Look at Psalms 32, verse 10, the last words of verse of chapter 32, verse 10. Look what it says. He who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Let me read it again. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. And that is what we found to be true, that when we trust God, mercy surrounds us. God has mercy on us as we trust Him and as we live for Him and as we believe that God has a plan for our lives and He is faithful to us. And I thought of that the other day. I thought of how when I was a young man, when I was a young person, how I had to trust the Lord. Most all of you have heard my story, so you know about my childhood and how difficult it was and how often we moved and my being raised by a godly grandmother. And I'd remember when grandma would tell me that, little Eddie, you can trust the Lord. No matter where you're at, you can trust the Lord. So we'd move again, and she'd remind me by phone, by letter, whatever it was, we could correspond. She'd say, you can trust the Lord. I didn't know where we were headed. I didn't know from one day to the next whether we're going to still be in the same place or not. But what I learned is that I could trust the Lord. And I learned that lesson early in life. I didn't always understand it. I didn't always like it. I didn't always like the fact that I just got registered in a new school and 2 weeks later we were moving again. I don't like that. But I had to believe that God saw my life. Amen? That God saw my life. He understood that and He had a plan for my life. And I certainly believe He does. And now that I'm on the other end of the journey, I'm not young anymore. And I'm not, I don't know what over the hill is. I keep moving the hill. Keep moving the hill. But I guess I'm a senior adult now. This morning I had men posted at every door and said, now you watch for senior adults that may need help in on the ice. And I meant that more for the ladies than the men, because senior adult men would rather fall than get help getting in. And then I thought to myself as I walked away, I'm one of them. Who's watching me? Yeah. But even now that I'm up in years, even now that I'm older than I was, I can still say I need to trust the Lord. And I'm trusting the Lord for things right now. I trust the Lord for the future and for His plan. I don't understand everything about the future. I'm not sure where it's going to lead or, you know, what God will do. But one thing I've learned, and that is that I can trust God. I can trust the Lord, and He will be faithful to me. And then I thought of families, young families. We saw this baby dedication this morning that Eddie did in first service. And I thought, here's a young family just getting started, dedicating their babies to the Lord. And I remembered back, you know, that used to be a desire of my heart. As a matter of fact, look at verse 4. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And one of the desires of my heart as a young man was to have a family, was to be able to be married and have children and raise them before the Lord. And I thought of it as I watched that baby dedication this morning when we dedicated Sharina to the Lord and Eddie to the Lord, and how faithful God has been through all of these years, through all the family stuff. Because family's got stuff going on all the time, right? You that have little ones at home, you've got little one stuff. And you that have junior highs at home, you got junior high stuff. And you that got that older kids at home, you got older kids stuff. And then they leave the house, and then you got this empty nest syndrome. This empty nest where you feel like you're lonesome and the kids are gone and they don't need you anymore. Believe me, they still need you. They will come back. They're like MacArthur, I shall return. And they do, and we love it. We think it's great. I think it's wonderful. But families have issues, and I don't care what family you are. There's not a perfect family, but it's wonderful to know that even families can trust in the Lord. Amen? I love what Sally puts when she sends an email. Matter of fact, she sent so many emails this last week that the internet company that we're with or whatever, I don't understand all that, but they wouldn't let her send any more. They thought we'd got hacked, and this was some lady sending out this bulk emails to everybody, so she had to send them through her Gmail account. I want to know, Sally, who you been emailing? But they put a stop to it. But I love the way she says it. You that are on email. And by the way, if you're not on our email list and you want to be, talk to Sally and get your email there, because that's one of the major ways that we get a hold of you if there's some change in schedule or whatever. And if you don't have email and you'd rather have a phone call, Sally has a list of people we call by phone to make sure we get a hold of you as well. But I love the way she puts the emails. Dear Landmark family. How many's noticed that, right? Dear Landmark family, you know how wonderful that makes me feel? Landmark is a family, and it's like other churches. You know, I'm sure our other local churches feel like a family as well, and so they should. But there's something about Landmark family, and we've been through a lot together, Landmark family. We've been through the good times, we've been through the bad times. And I remember when we sent out an email, dear Landmark family, Sally's in the hospital, and she may not survive. How many remember that? But God gave us a miracle, because we trusted and He was faithful. Amen? And God gave us a miracle. And then there's other times, dear Landmark family, so-and-so is gone to be with the Lord. And we mourn with those that mourn. We rejoice with those that rejoice. But that's what family does. And through Landmark family, we've trusted in God. We've learned to trust one another. We've learned to love one another. We've accepted new folks in. We've said goodbye to some folks. But that's what family does. And I'm proud to say this morning that Landmark, dear Landmark Church, family, dear Landmark family, we know what it is to trust God. Hallelujah. And God has been faithful to us. Yes, He has. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And I thought of that. I thought, oh Lord, how You've given me the desires of my heart, because I've trusted You. I remember when as a little kid, one of the things that I wanted to do more than anything else is fly. And I was born during that era when commercial flying was just really getting its start, and only the more wealthy and the elite flew airplanes. I mean, that and went on commercial trips. Now flying is like taking Greyhound bus, right? You just do it. Everyone seems to do it. But back then as a little boy, I thought, whoa, wouldn't it be something? I said, God, if ever I could fly. And I remember as a little boy, I used to spread my wings. I used to spread my arms and I'd fly through the yard. I'd just go walking through and flying, running through my grandma's yard. And I'd look down and see all the ants and the snails and all of that and think those are people down there. And I just fly around, just enjoying making, just, that was a dream that I had. And then, now that we've been in ministry, Cheryl and I has flown, we've flown so many places. God has given us the desire of our heart. But I remember the day when one of the men in the church had an airplane and he said, why don't you take flying lessons? So I did. And it was the desire of my heart to be able to fly a plane myself. So I got up with the instructor and we got out for the first lesson and we were talking about, he went through all the routine and so we took off. And as we took off, the instructor's beside me and finally, oh, some tears were coming down my eyes. He said, are you okay, Mr. Stanton? Are you all right? I said, oh yeah. I said, this is the fulfillment of a dream. This is the fulfillment of a dream. God has made a way for me to be able to fly. And so we get up in the air. And he said, okay, now we need to go over some basic things here. The first lesson, need to talk to you about this and that. And one of an emergency landing. And so we're up and we're flying over by near 199th. There's a grass strip over there, right? And so we just about get over there and he says, okay. And he cut the power and he says, okay, your engine just died. What are you going to do? And I went just like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he took the yoke and said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, that's a great prayer, but no, this is what you do. And so we went through that process. And he is a great instructor, a Christian man. And then I remember when I had my solo, I did my solo flight. I filled out my flight plan. I took off from Clark County Aerodrome that is no longer an airport anymore, but I would fly to North Bend, Oregon. I would come back up and land at Astoria, and then I would go further south and land at a little strip on the beach, and then I would go to Tacoma and then or Olympia, and then I would head back. And how many remember the cooling tower used to be in Rainier, that big nuclear cooling tower? Well, it's gone now. But I remember that was my point. I knew when I got there that I needed to head in. And it was getting dark. It was getting dark. I couldn't believe it. I looked at my watch and it was getting darker and darker and my instruments were, could hardly see them. And I radioed in and I radioed my instructor and he's waiting at the airport for me to get there. And I said, it's getting dark and I'm not qualified. I'm not trained on night flying. And he said, well, you know this. You have to trust your instruments. You have to trust your instruments. And how many know that when we are walking with God, it may be getting dark, but you have to trust your instruments. Amen? And if you've ever took flight training, you know what it is to wear the hood. They put a hood over your head, and the instructor says, now, fly the way you feel. And I did that. They put the hood on me, and I flew the way I thought I should go. And all of a sudden, I hear the stall button, the buzzer. And that means you're just about ready to drop out of the sky. And he took the hood off, and lo and behold, I had mixed that plane up so much because I didn't follow the instruments. And then he put it back on, and he said, now, fly by the instruments. And so I watched the instruments, altitude, attitude, heading, altitude, attitude, heading, altitude, attitude, heading. And even though I couldn't see where I was going, the instruments led me the right way. I'm convinced if we will follow the instruments, we won't crash. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So I got to Rainier Cooling Tower, and it was getting darker and darker, and he was telling me what I should do, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me I had my sunglasses on. And I raised them up, and I radioed back and said, it's okay, the sun came out. I know where I'm headed, so anyway. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that was a great desire of mine. Trusting in the Lord. I learned so many lessons, though, from that, from flying. I learned how important it is to trust and to trust your instruments. And then it says, commit your way to the Lord, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Oh, how many times you commit your way to the Lord, verse 5, and you trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Once you commit your way, then you trust. How many's committed your way to the Lord? How many's committed your future to the Lord? How many's committed your family to the Lord? How many's committed whatever God has for you in the future to the Lord? Once you do that, then the next thing is to trust, and then He will be faithful. Praise God. He will be faithful. And then verse 7 seems to fit right in. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. Praise the Lord. In verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God knows my way, even if I don't. And there are times, and there have been times, in our marriage, in our ministry, in our family, that we didn't understand what God was doing. As a matter of fact, there's been times where I've asked God, God, what are you doing? Do you know what day it is? Do you know what time it is? Do you know how much we have in the bank? Do you know how much we need in the bank? Amen? Do you know what you're doing? And God says to me, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So there's been times I haven't understood, but I've learned to trust the God that I don't understand. And again, once we're through the journey, we look back and we see how faithful God has been. And maybe that's where some of you are right now. Maybe you're in a situation where you're having to trust the Lord and you don't understand. And if you could tell God what to do, you have a good plan, right? How is this not a good plan? That's maybe what you're saying to the Lord. But His ways are above our ways. And then in verse 25, and this is kind of the testimony that I feel right now where I'm at in life. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And then the next verse says, he is ever merciful. And that word ever, when you translate it in the Hebrew, means all the day. All the day, God is merciful. All the day, God is merciful. Let me read one more passage to you, and then we're going to conclude the service. This is a passage that so many of us know so well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We could almost do it by heart, couldn't we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you've got a marking Bible, it's a Bible you don't mind making notes and marks in, you need to have these two verses marked, so that you can go back to them over and over and over again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Praise God. He will direct your paths. The word direct seems to indicate and mean he will smooth out the path. He will make the path walkable. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's stand together this morning. What are you doing, Lord? I don't understand. Why am I going through this? I haven't figured that out yet. Lord, everything was going fine, and then all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. Lord, what's going on? It's time to trust. It's time to trust. Lord, I saw it coming. It's inevitable. My kids grew up. Now I got to trust the Lord. Lord, they told me it would come. They told me I'd get older. I didn't believe them. And then I woke up one morning, and my best friend has now been gay. Saw it coming. Didn't believe him. So what do I do? Lord, I got to trust. Got to trust. Storm's coming. Cheryl said it. I can feel it. Something in the atmosphere. Change is coming. What do I do? Get ready to put your wings out and get ready to soar above the storm. Amen? Ready to soar. Where are you at? Where are you at? Do you need to trust? Do you need to trust? I look at these young men and women in our service and I think, boy, you men and women need to trust the Lord. You're the future. What does God have for you? I don't know. He knows. Amen. He knows. You've got to trust Him. What does it mean to trust the Lord? Part of it means to believe that He has the best for you. He has the best in mind. Trust Him in the little things. Trust Him in the big things. Trust Him. That's where we're at. What I want us to do this morning, I want us to come down together and I want us to sing the song we sang when we did prayer. I want to sing the song still. And I want us to pray together. And I want us to commit our way to the Lord today. I want us to commit our way to the Lord today. Step closer to the front, guys, and others will slip in behind you. So where are you at today? Where are you at today? You may not be a Harrison Ford fan, but a certain member of my family thinks he is a hunk. So we were watching her hunk the other day. And it was that movie where they're looking for the... what is it? The cup of Jesus. Yeah, the Holy Grail. And I don't care how many times I see that scene. He's standing on the precipice. And the instruction says, you have to take a leap of faith, a step of faith. And he hesitates and his dad's dying. Sean Connery, the other hunk. That was Anna Pennington's hunk. You that knew Anna Pennington? And she made no bones about it. There is no man alive ever matched up to Sean Connery. And so he's standing on the precipice and he gets ready to take that step. And as only Hollywood can do, as he steps out into nothing, something is there. Oh, wow. One of the writers, because there are many Christian writers in Hollywood. We don't know that, but there are. And many of them have said, we can't get the whole script like we want it, but we can put in little bits here and there. And so he stepped out into nothing and something was there. That's what trust. And we don't do it frivolously. But maybe some of you are standing on the verge, the precipice. You don't see any other thing to do, but God says, take the step. Take the step, and He'll be there. Amen? Pastor Leonard and his wife in ministry for many, many, many years. I'm sure there were many times, Pastor, you had to take the step of faith. Amen? Leap of faith, and God was there. Maybe you're going through a storm. Trust, trust, trust. This isn't a new thing. You've heard these stories before. You young men and women, trust. Trust the Lord. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. You may not see it right now, but He's got a plan for you. But you've got to trust Him. And if you do, God will be faithful. You young families with children, God's going to be with you. You got to trust Him. you do the right thing, he'll be faithful to you. Some of you struggling financially right now, hey, we've been there. We understand that. But you got to trust. Never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. God's going to come through. It's called trust. Amen. Just at the right time, when God knows it's right, he will say to the storm, be still. The Greek word phrase for still or be still is to be muzzled. While we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, God will speak to the storm and say, be muzzled. Stop. When the time's right, the storm will stop. Till then, we're going to trust. God will be faithful. God hasn't lost anybody to the storm yet, and he's not going to start with you. Amen? Amen. If you're standing with your beloved, I want you to take their hand. And I want to pray first of all for those families that might be going through some rough times. Jesus, right now, as people take the hands of their beloved, some here are newly married, others have been married for many, many years. Lord, right now, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for their situation. I pray, God, you would give them the strength to trust you. Because it's not an easy thing to trust. It's not an easy thing, but we're going to do it because we know that God will be faithful. And Lord, in that faithful, in that trust will come the mercies of God. They that trust in the Lord will be surrounded by mercies every day. That's what your word says right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. If you're standing by a young adult or a young person, teenager, a young adult, I want you to just stretch your hand out and touch them on the shoulder right now. I want to pray for our young folks right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, for these young men and women, these teenagers, these young men and women, these young adults, Lord, I pray for them. Father, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. And Lord, many of them, Lord, are wondering, what will become of my life? What will become of me? What will I do? Who will I marry? What job will I do? Lord, in Jesus' name, help them to just trust you right now and commit all those things into the hand of the Lord, knowing that you will bring it to pass. If they'll just be faithful to trust you, you, oh God, will be faithful to them, and you're going to make it all work out okay. They don't have to worry. God will work it out. And when they get down the road a ways, they'll turn around and go, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. God did amazing things. Even if right now it's a little rough for them, Lord, I know you're going to help them in Jesus' name right now. Father, I pray for our older adults, Lord, this morning. I just ask you, Lord, to touch them and help them to trust you, especially those that are just going in or have been in this process, Lord, where they're wondering, Lord, what their life will end up being like in the years they have left. Lord, I pray they would just trust you right now. And know, God, that you honor those with gray hair, Lord. You honor those that are up in years. They've served faithfully you. They've walked with you. And God, you're not going to forsake them in their old age. That's what your word says. And you're going to encourage them and strengthen them and give them the wisdom, Lord, to deal with anything that comes their way in Jesus' name. And Father, for families and for all of us right now, we pray that you would just help us to trust you with every decision we have to make. We just trust, oh God. That's what the Landmark family does. That's what God's family does. That's what you've encouraged us to do, and we thank you for it right now. Father, it's been good to be in church this morning. It's been so good to be in church, Lord. We've missed everybody, and we just commit all of our way to the Lord right now, and we thank you for that little word, trust, is so important, and we hold on to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn, give someone a hug, and say, I love you, and I appreciate you, and glad you're in church with me today. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming to church.